man, I just go sit down and I close my eyes, blink, and there's more people. Let me try that again. Probably. I am genie. Well, we are still in our series, What is a Christian? And we've talked about the origins of Christianity. That's kind of been our staple verse of the month that we read. How it started in Antioch, some of the forefathers of the early church, but then even men within the Old Testament who chose to have a relationship with God over religion, and how this whole message series is coming into kind of a crescendo today. And it's, what is a new Christian? And in the next slide, a new Christian is a new creation. Aren't you glad that in Christ we are made new? Oh man, that was weak. You guys are acting like you're like 75 and older for a second here. All right, let's try. That was the joke. All right, let's try that again. Aren't you glad you're a new creation? That slightly better. I still feel like I'm in an old folks home. I'm just kidding. So, I love real estate. I grew up in a house, and I still have one. Can anyone be thankful for real estate? Growing up, I saw my parents build a lot of houses, build developments, flip houses. And so when I graduated college and I couldn't find an adult job or get in a church because the economy was pretty bad at the time, I got into real estate because I was hoping that one day it would lead me to being able to buy, invest, and to flip homes. Still waiting for that. Did you know working in real estate is not as abundant as it looks from the agent perspective? But here's what's unique is when you buy a house, there is a transfer of title from the old ownership to the new ownership. The house looks the same, but what's unique is that in this process of transfer of ownership, there was an offer, there was an acceptance, and then there was a transfer of ownership. But often when it comes to rehabbing the house, just because there was an offer, it was accepted, and there was a transfer of deed or title, and now it's under new ownership, just because the house has new ownership, it doesn't mean that it's been transformed yet. But, it is in that process of being a new creation, especially when it comes to renovating. So a lot of us in life, when we have accepted Christ, we become a new creation, and we're like that house that gets transferred on paperwork to new ownership. But the transformation of the physical property has yet to occur. And what happens is, as the new owner of a property, over time, what ends up happening is little by little, tweaks are made. Adjustments are made. Painting, fixing. If you're a renovator, then you go all in and you renovate more quickly. But what ends up happening is then that house then takes on the identity of the new ownership. And much like us as Christians, we have been bought for a price. And for those who have accepted Jesus, we are now under new authority. We are now under new ownership. And we are in the process of being renewed. We are in the process of transformation. Romans 3:23 on our first slide, it says, understanding our old identity. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, I know everyone here is perfect, so I know this doesn't apply to you guys, but right? My daughter thinks she's perfect, and she tells it to me all the time. Look at me, Daddy, look at me. I love it. She'll touch my little, she'll take her hand and get my attention. She goes, I love you. More juice, please. I don't know why I did that with a British accent. We are all full of sin. We are in need of redemption. We are in need of transformation. We are in need of healing. And the first place to understanding that we are a new creature is to understand our old identity. Because there was a lady who ate of a fruit tree, who was entrenched by lies from Satan, and then who also got her husband to eat of that tree. They chose separation and they chose distance. They chose sin over a relationship with God. And because sin entered the world, there was corruption, there was fallen nature, there was murder, there was envy, there was strife, there's wars, there's everything that we see today that is not right with the world as a result of sin. So to understand, before we become a new creation, we got to understand that who we are is not in alignment with who we were created to be. The second part is then we get to encounter Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has come, and the old has gone. The new is here. Just like I was talking about with that identity of the ownership of a house, transformation gets to happen after new ownership of a property. And we are transformed into Christ and into His image when we've accepted our role as a new creation under Him. There are different types of flippers when it comes to real estate, not just dolphins. But as a real estate agent who's been doing this for 11 years, I'll go, you know, look at some properties online that look absolutely amazing through the photos. And then you get there and you're like, holy heck, the photos were so much better than what you see in real life. There's major cracks and defects in that house that weren't mentioned in the disclosures. And the person that flipped the property came in and essentially, in real estate terms, as we call throwing lipstick on a pig. It's, you just try to make it look nice and presentable and hopefully someone will buy it, but all the problems are still there. None of the major issues were fixed or transformed. And then you got another breed of flippers who, when they buy a house, they practically gut everything and make it right. And they develop it, and it's a slower process than putting lipstick on the pig. But by the time it's said and done, that house has went through a full and true transformation. And not only can it be sold for a good price, but it also demands higher value, but also people who are house shopping, they see the value better. They see the difference made. They see the restoration process. They might not have seen what it was before, but they see the transformation. And like us who are in Christ, who have an old nature, we are being, day by day, being transformed into the image of Christ. Where our old nature of sin, while it is still at conflict with our spirit, we are, through Christ Jesus, empowered to be able to live differently and to be able to be lived transformed by the power of His presence in our life, by the sanctification of His Word in our heart and mind. And when we live in that power, when we live in that place of transformation, we then become identified with the new creation in Christ rather than our old sinful self. But can I tell you, the struggle is real? Does anyone else struggle, or is it just me? No? No, you don't struggle? Cool. Romans 7, 18, 19. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that it is the sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do, I don't want to do. This I keep on doing. Paul is essentially talking about his frustration of his sinful nature that is waging war with the spirit-filled man who he is. And when we look at Paul's example, he is essentially saying, I'm really wanting to live this way, and I'm in the process of being transformed, but the good that I'm wanting to do, I'm struggling to do it because I'm still fighting the carnal sin of this world. And what's so unique, yesterday I was just mindlessly scrolling through videos, and I came across some TikTok theology, and it was really interesting. There was a guy who was talking about how if God wanted to take your struggle with sin away, He could. But the reason why He doesn't is because He says it's a part of what leads us to salvation. And I was like, wait a second. Okay, Jesus leads us to salvation. How does sin lead us to salvation? Okay, our sin actually makes us realize that we are separate from Him and we are in need of Him. And then I realized, when I've struggled with sin, and I'm asking God to take this sin away from me, to help me develop more into a man of God, to His character, His nature, His integrity, His purity, His holiness, and righteousness, when I'm asking God for these things, and when I'm pursuing it, it's actually two unique, I don't want to say competing desires. There's the desire to be like Him, and then there's also the desire to be away from sin, away from darkness. And the only other alternative is either to embrace it or to turn away from it. Last night, my wife and I, we went to a comedy show. Do you guys know who J.P. Sears is? He is a long-haired, red-headed, muscular guy who makes a lot of funny videos on social media. He does a lot of political videos. And he was doing some stand-up at a local comedy club, and so we went. And back in 2018, I invited him to be on my podcast. And I was conversating with him through email, but due to his scheduling, he wasn't able to at that time. And then he grew to be so big that I couldn't actually reach back out to him because now he had so many people working for him that it was just hard to communicate with him. But what's unique is after that moment, I felt like God tell me to pray for his salvation. So I started praying for his salvation in 2018. And this year, I believe, I don't know, it might have happened last year, but he came out this year as a Christian. He's still being transformed into the image of God just like the rest of us. But he said something yesterday, because he said, hey, I saw your video, and my question to you is, what was that process like? And he said when he was just living his life and when COVID happened, it wasn't necessarily that he was looking for Jesus. It was that he saw evil more clearly in the world than he ever could before. And when he saw evil, it gave him that jerk reaction, like, whoa, what is that? And then he was talking about either A, you open your soul up to it and allow yourself to become a part of that evil, or in your natural reaction, you jerk back and then you look at, okay, well, if that's not what I want, what else is there? And he said through that process, he became an accidental Christian, which I said, hey, that's the title of your book. And he's like, whoa, that's cool. What's unique about our struggle with sin, while sin, yes, does separate the unbeliever from God, when we struggle with sin, it's also the same thing that motivates me to get away from and to draw closer to Him. So I have a desire to be in His presence, and I also have a desire to get away from carnal nature. And one of my struggles, I have a lot of struggles in life. Don't let my wife fool you into letting her tell you I'm perfect, because I'm not. But one of my struggles is anger. I can get angry pretty quick. And then, if I'm being real honest, sometimes I cuss a little, but I love Jesus. And sometimes I struggle with the words that come out of my mouth. And as I want to continue to be transformed into God's image, I also know that this is a part of me that I'm working on letting go and surrendering. And through that process of that war within myself, the spirit of the carnal nature or the spirit of God, I'm both being pulled to God because of that desire to be like Him, but I'm also being repulsed by the sinful nature within me that is also pushing me to be more like Christ. And so as we are going through our daily lives, I remember we have this house on our street, and it's finally flipped and sold. But this house, there was an awesome neighbor who lived in it. Her son came in after she died and basically squatted in it, tore it to shreds. And for about 4 or 5 years, it was pretty nasty. And I was just like, Karina, we've got to figure out how can we buy this? I'm just scheming on ways of trying to, how can I get this eyesore to look nice? And someone came in and they flipped it. But that big, old, ugly house on our street is often like those big, old, ugly stains and sins that we want to get rid of. And we feel ashamed that they're in our life. But I think we should feel a lot less ashamed and realize, you know what? I'm not going to live off of a spirit of condemnation, but I'm going to be grateful for the new creation that I am in Christ Jesus, and allow the repulsive nature to propel me into the desired nature of living out in the presence of transformation through the power of the Holy Spirit in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Being a Christian is not merely adopting a set of behaviors or beliefs, but it's receiving that new nature. We receive this new nature not by religious duties or practices of, all right, I am just going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray, I'm going to do it tomorrow. Like, don't get me wrong, do those things. But when we do it, we have to check our heart, because when we're doing it out of flesh and out of control to to be better, we're still in the process of holding on to control and then trying to be like God. As long as we're trying to control our sinful nature and our desires so that, all right, I'm going to try to white-knuckle this, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to read, and I'm going to do every Christian duty. As long as that is our focus and that is our intention, we'll see the sin to grow in our life. We'll become more ashamed, more disappointed with who we are, and we'll become more religious, and it'll be harder to let go of those things in our life. Control and trying to forcefully change our sin patterns and habits will never leave our life if we're still trying to hold on to them and control it. But we become transformed and renewed, yes, by the renewing of the Word, yes, by praying. But we don't do it to try to get rid of sin, because then we're still sin-focused. But if we pray and we read the Bible, not out of obligation, not out of not trying to sin, but out of trying to know Him and to be with Him, then we come into a place of open arms and acceptance, to where we, in our identity, in our hearts, and our minds, start being cleansed and transformed into His image. And then our focus goes away from trying to control not doing our bad behavior, but our lives then be washed by the blood, and we're allowing God to flow in and through us. One, I'm trying to forcefully do, and the other, I am planting myself in His presence. When we are planted in God's presence, we go from having an earthly or now perspective to an eternal perspective. We go from understanding and identifying with the sin pattern and the regret to the forgiveness and the love of Jesus Christ. We go from feeling rejected to the feeling of being wanted and desired. We go from being at odds with God to being a friend with God. We go from purposelessness to having a sense of purpose. We go from being trapped by sin to having the freedom from and to overcome sin. We go from a carnal mind to the ability to have a renewed mind. This church has an amazing name. Sometimes it's called The Rock. Sometimes it's called River Oaks Christian Church. Whatever we move forward with calling it here in the near future, which is probably going to still be River Oaks. One of my favorite, I have like two top favorite verses in the Bible, and this is one of them. Psalms 1, 2 through 3. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Hello, River Oaks. This is your captain speaking. We are like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. We're not meditating on His law out of religious duties or obligations or trying to change ourselves. Because when we try to change ourselves, then that's us taking control of the situation and not allowing God to flow and operate freely into your life on His desire and what He wants done on your behalf. What tends to happen is you're trying to hold on to things so tightly that you can't allow God to transform you through this process. What often will get us to one point in life will not actually get us to a next point. It's a stepping ground. But what happens is we get to a point and we've done well. We've come from death to life. And through this process we're like, all right, this is what got me here, so I'm going to hold on tightly. But the thing is, God has called us to go from glory to glory, and we can't go from glory to glory if we're still trying to hold on to this stage of life or this process of life. So if we are called to go from glory to glory, then we need to freely let go and just plant ourselves in the presence of God. When we pray, when we read, when we meditate on the Lord, we are planting ourselves by the rivers of water. And here's what's awesome about the river of water. If we as a church could do this, we will see God do amazing things. Each one of our lives is like a bucket of water in it. But in this bucket of water, if water is drawn out from it, that capacity lowers. What is in it lowers. But you take that same cup and you dip it into a river, the capacity of that river doesn't change. Because that capacity of that river is being renewed every single second. So when we plant ourselves, let us plant ourselves like a tree in the rivers of water of God's presence through meditation, through prayer. Not desiring to change anything about ourselves, but to simply just be with God. There was a question that Miracle asked me. Do you remember the question? Why is sitting in silence so painful? Do you remember that? Huh? Well, I finally have your answer. I've meditated on that question for months because I wanted to give you the right answer. The reason why sitting in silence is so painful because it's actually a part of the destruction of our flesh. To quiet our hearts and our minds, to be at peace and rest with Jesus. Because what happens is in this world, we are busy, we are distracted, and there's a lot going on. But to sit still and to do nothing is waging war against our flesh. So to do nothing is also a very spiritual practice. It's different than laziness. But to sit in the presence of God and to do nothing but just soak and say, God, I am just here to be with you, is literally crucifying your flesh. It is crucifying that old nature. And when we're practicing the presence of God, we are putting to death the old nature, not out of our own striving, but out of being in His presence. If you'll turn on our instrumental music. I'm going to call a little bit of an audible today. In the last minute, you're welcome, Kat. We're going to end with just this instrumental music. This week I was reminded how there's a lot of things that we can do in a church. We can have lots of programs. But the most important thing is this moment right here. The offer of salvation, but also the sitting in His presence. And allowing God in this moment to speak to your heart. So we're going to do that. So today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, Jesus, I don't know you. I haven't made you Lord of my life, but I want you to be that. Would you sneak your hand up real quick? and look at me. Thank you. For this next part, if you're here today, this doesn't mean you've backslidden, this doesn't mean anything else other than wanting to know Jesus more, to be more transformed by His presence. I'm going to invite you to stand with me at this altar. And we're going to just worship God by being in His presence. So I'm raising my hand on this. I consistently want to be transformed by practicing His presence and being with Him than striving to beat out the flesh. I am a new creature. I am a new creation in Christ. That is what a Christian is. The old is gone and the new has come, and I'm being transformed into His image by being with Him. That is an invitation to come up. Jesus, for who you are. Thank you for the life that we have in Jesus, the transformational power and the grace that you've given us so that we might be like trees planted in the waters whose leaf does not wither, bears forth fruit in each season. God, I thank you that you are strengthening and nourishing us. That you are transforming us day by day into your image and your likeness. God, thank you for thank you. You are awesome. You are glory. You are righteous. Thank you that you're doing a work in the lives that are represented here today, and those that have come forward, and those who seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. And in one accord we all say, amen. God is good. And all the time. Thank you for showing up today. For planting yourself here at River Oaks. May God bless you during this week. May His face and His glory shine upon you and give you great grace and peace in your lives. Be blessed as you go from this place today. Amen.